He was more friendly with enlisted men than he ever was with officers. He was especially close to Guarnieri and Toya. When he came out of his foxhole, Compton saw carnage all around him. The nearest wounded were his friends, Guarnieri and Toya, their legs dangling from their bodies, their blood turning the snow bright red all around them. Compton started running to the rear, shouting for medics or help of some kind. He finally calmed down at the aid station. It was found he had a severe case of trench foot. He was evacuated. Compton had won a Silver Star at Brécourt Manor on June 6, 1944. He had been wounded later in Normandy and again in Holland. He had stood up to everything the Germans had thrown at him from December 17th to January 3rd, but the sight of his platoon being decimated, of his two friends torn into pieces, unnerved him. Peacock gone, Dyke taking a walk, Compton gone, one replacement lieutenant who had turned himself in to the aid station with Trenchfoot, which by this time almost every member of the company had, and another who was suspected of shooting himself in the hand. The battalion commander had to be concerned with the problem of the breaking point. Winters related his feelings in an interview. "I had reached that stage in Bastogne where I knew I was going to get it. Sooner or later, I'm going to get it. I just hope the hell it isn't too bad. But there never was a fear in me that I was going to break. I just felt that I was going to be hit sooner or later. But as far as the breaking point, no." After a reflective pause, he went on. "But you don't see people getting hit around you every day, every day, every day, continuing on, and not knowing how long this was going to go on. Is this going to go on forever? Am I ever going to see home again?" For the officer, he continued, with the additional burden of making decisions constantly under pressure, when there had been a deprivation of sleep and inadequate food, it was no wonder men broke. It was the policy of the U.S. Army to keep its rifle companies on the line for long periods, continuously in the case of the companies and infantry divisions, making up losses by individual replacement. This meant that replacements went into combat not with the men they had trained and shipped overseas with, but with strangers. It also meant the veteran could look forward to a release from the dangers threatening him only through death or serious wound. This created a situation of endlessness and hopelessness, as Winters indicated. Combat is a topsy-turvy world. Perfect strangers are going to great lengths to kill you. If they succeed, far from being punished for taking life, they will be rewarded, honored, celebrated.